Hi, Boo-Boo.
My other dog. Okay, it's 101, so what do you think?
Go for it.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Wow, this is great. We have 26 participants. So can everybody see these bottom?
So, and James, you can go to the bottom. Remember on the webinar, we had the chat.
Yes.
So you can go to the very bottom and you'll see the chat button.
Oh, I see. Hello.
So click on that and you can see the chat.
Okay. And then so we can, okay, there we go. We can mute. I see. We have to personally unmute people.
Yeah. So they know how, so I sent directions on how they raise their hand. So everyone, when you ask a question, if you're on the phone, just press *9. And then if you're on video, you'll just go to that chat box on the right side. And at the bottom right corner is a raise hand icon.
Rhonda, are you in your car?
Of course I'm in my car. You're having this at 1 o'clock in Southern California. I'm taking my mother to the acupuncturist.
I bet you're on the 405 freeway.
No, I'm in Carlsbad and here's Bebop.
Oh, you're in Carlsbad. That's hysterical. That's funny.
Good to see you, James.
Good to see you, Rhonda. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hi. And Emily, they can unmute themselves or we have to unmute them?
I don't know how Rhonda got unmuted. Rhonda, how did you get unmuted?
Same place down there where it says stop video, unmute, share contact.
Oh, down there in the bottom. Okay, got it.
They have to do it.
You guys do it yourselves, you guys. Okay.
We want to make sure there's not a lot of background noise. So
Stephen, yeah. Lisa, good. Lisa, you got it. Good. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
Hello. Let's see who else.
Hi, James. It's Marcia from Houston, Texas.
Hi, Marcia. How are you?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you?
I'm good. So you're on the phone, right?
I am on video.
Where are you? There you are. Hi, Marcia.
Hi, Todd.
Hey, you have to be able to see, too, I guess. Great. Nice to see you, Marcia. Okay. And Debbie. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, James.
Hi, Debbie. Where are you calling? Where are you from?
Queen Creek, Arizona.
Oh, great. Great, great. Isabella, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good, good. And let's see who else. Sonia, hi.
Hi. Hi, James.
Oh, how are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Good, 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 good. And Kat's trying. I know I see a Kat. You're trying.
I did.
Hey, hi, Kat.
Hi.
How are you, sweetie?
I'm great.
Good, good, good. Now, Marcia, you still got to do yours.
Stay unmuted. Okay,
hey,
I'm unmuted.
Marcia, how are you, sweetie? Well, this is really kind of cool once we get this established. So welcome everybody and thank you very much for your signing up for certification to mediumship. And I hope you're enjoying it. I know that when you start, so you've all taken the first course, yeah? You've all taken certification one, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. Anybody not take certification?
Still in the middle of it.
Still in the middle of it, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's true for Alona too.
Okay, so remember, mediumship, you take your time, you don't rush through anything, so don't worry about it. So you can be in the middle of certification two and also back to one and do one and two, that's fine. The most important thing is not to rush through things. That's really important. And also be mindful that you can always go back and repeat a lesson, and you can do a lesson several times a week, or so don't worry about it. I have to get this done at this particular time. Okay, it's yours for your lifetime, these courses. So, and when we meet, there'll be questions that come up. Like today, I think we're gonna talk a little bit about development circles because Emily put you into development circle, right? Emily, you put everybody in a circle, right?
Except so, if you just signed up, you'll be in your circle by Monday.
Well, Emily's been working very hard doing that. Thank you, Emily, putting everyone together. It's not an easy.
Yes.
It's coordinating a lot of strangers together from all over the country in the world, actually. And so anytime we do this, it's just like this technology, it's brand new. So we have to be aware that we have to have patience, because a long way, and humility the long way, and just trying to help each other out is really the beginning stages. We needed to help each other out with this. So that's why also I want to do these conference calls, because we can help each other out with questions that you've come up with, some insights, certain things that are going on. Remember that people that are doing this, some people have had years of experience as mediums, other people have not, and it's their first time. So we've got to, as I always say, even if you're an established medium, you're always learning every single day. And there's the art of humility, which is really helping another person, not feeling that you know everything, that, oh my gosh, I've been doing this for years, so I know better than someone else. Not necessarily, because every single person is brand new to your life. And that's really how we should approach entering into this. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yep.
Yeah. Try to learn from each other and understand each other and know one better than anybody else. We're all in it together. Speaking of which, where is, I'm missing one person. Is there, Sandy, is she here? Emily, Sandy here? Sandy?
I don't see her.
From West Virginia. And then we have Cheryl. We have all the people on the phone, I think, that you guys are all unmuted, so you're going to unmute yourself on your phone.
Here, I can unmute them manually.
Oh, good. No, thank you. There you go. Oh, good. Michelle Kraft, right. Good. And Carolyn. Hi, Carolyn. Didn't say hello to you.
Hi.
And Michelle, Lisa Marie, Laurel, Cheryl, nice to meet you all. And we have people on this side over here. Oh, it's like air traffic control. Jenny, great. There we go. So always on the phone. Right. Okay. Okay. Thanks, Emily.
Hi, this is Helen.
Hi, Helen. Nice to meet you.
Okay.
Here. Good. Hi. Okay. So I thought we'd start today off with, I was going to read you guys something, which I think is really kind of cool. So we're going to talk today about, there's a baby. Hi, baby. Animals and children. What is this?
So I'm going to mute. I'm going to mute people, and you just know you can press your hand, you raise your hand, just so we don't have a lot of background.
Oh, cool. Okay, great. Thanks. I don't know what screen to look at. My goodness gracious, this is so pretty. So I thought we'd start because development circles is bringing people in the groups and talk about that. This is a book called The Spirit Book. And this book has been around for many, many years. I think it's 20 years, 30 years. I'm not sure. Let's see. But it's a good book. It's like an encyclopedia of mediumship. And I looked through it for if they have definition of development circle, because a lot of people want to know what it means formally. So I'm going to read this to you. Development circle. As the name suggests, a development circle is a group of people meeting on a regular basis to practice and develop as mediums, also known as home circles. From the fact that they usually took place in someone's home, they were once the very backbone of spiritualist movements. The mediumistic faculty in all its forms can be cultivated by sitting in the spirit circle, which tends to perfect and spiritualize the magnetism of the sitters by their mutual action on each other and by the influence of the spirits. There is no need for such a group to have an already established medium present. The whole point is to develop the sitters themselves as mediums. So it's important that you realize that if you've never been, let's say, a circle leader, let's do it to a group and there's a circle leader, you're like, oh my God, I don't want to be a circle leader. Don't you necessarily have to feel like, oh my God, I have all this pressure on me. I got to get this right. It's just a point where we can start. So do not worry if you don't have any experience with that. It's just a point that we can start a circle. As we do this, the circles will shift and change and we'll move people around. Some people get along, some people will not get along, so that's human experience. So I don't want any of you to feel pressured, please. All right? Because I pick it up psychically. So I don't really want to feel pressured. Let's just do, one week at a time. I think we should start, if you come up with a group at a certain time, maybe we start with, at the beginning, we get together with your circle leader. And how many in a group per circle are we doing, Emily?
It varies between 6 to 10 based on location.
Right, fine. So sitting in a development circle is not always easy. And I'm going to say this to all of you. I am a believer that if you want to do this and you're going to commit yourself to doing this, then you should do it. But if you can't commit yourself, I don't want you to feel, oh my God, I can't do this. Oh, the world's going to blow up because I can't sit in the development circle this week. So if you can do your best to, let's just start with, you'll do your best to show up every week if you can. But life happens. You know what I mean? Life happens. Things happen. So if you can't make it, you just don't make it. Maybe you'll share emails and say, I got to go to a kid's soccer game today. I'm not going to be able to make it. You know, the spirit world knows you try your best to do it, you do it. If you can't, you can't. That's fine. So don't feel like you have to. Like you have to be there. If you can commit yourself to doing it and you're able to do that, it just helps with the development further. It just does. If you can't get in the development circle at that particular time, you can always sit by yourself that day at another time. So remember, you can always do that, okay? The important thing is to realize that you have an invitation from the spirit world to work with you, to sensitize you, to sensitize your auric field around you. And that's really what they're doing. And it tends to work better when you have a group focus. So it's why we have the development circle as kind of a group focus. Yeah. So if you focus on one thing and you're all that one space together, we're sitting there together, a group to magnetize. That's great. If you can't and you have to sit by yourself, that's fine too. But you get more out of it if you have several people at once. And don't throw rules at you. So a lot of people get caught up in those rules. Oh, I don't want you to be caught up in rules. Please don't, all right? So before we begin that, the process, everybody's gonna have a different experience when you sit in the development circle. You're all gonna have different insights. Like the first lesson I gave you, have they done that yet, the first lesson, Emily? You have to mute yourself. Emily's got unmuted. Can't hear you.
Sorry, my dog was being noisy. they started their first lesson, yes.
So a lot of you might have had different experiences as far as the aspect that you saw from another soul. You might see something different from one partner and then another person, participant, another person. There'll be someone in your group that'll be colorful or you'll get more from. That's normal, natural. Don't beat yourself up saying, I can't get anything from that person. Oh my God, I can't get a thing. I can't do nothing. That's fine. Don't beat yourself up. You made the commitment to be here. That's fabulous, okay? So it's practice. This is all about practice. Developing circles is about practice. Practicing your sensitivity and just seeing what happens. As I said before, you've seen videos that I've done and phone calls. It's an active passism. So you have to surrender. Not only surrender to the spirit world, but you got to surrender to your own human self. That earth mind can get in the way all the time. So that's got to be something where when you sit in a development circle, it kind of gives yourself a release from having to think so much. And the ego can slip out of the way and you can really let your spirit, your soul self come into play. Because remember, it's about the soul. The ego helps you here in the human world, but really it is your soul self, the mind, that is really is really doing the work here. So when you let the spirit people come close to you, and open yourself up and surrender in that space and letting them come close. It's almost as if you're in that nice, light, transient state, like, oh, just like lightly falling asleep. That's a nice place to be because you can let them come close to you and then you can step to the side and you can become aware of your soul, your heart self, and then be aware of all the things that happen around you. So that's that. Why don't we start with questions? Because some of the questions, either whether the lesson that we did or the development circle or whatever you have. So put your hand up.
If you have a question, just put your hand up.
I have a question. I start yawning a lot. Am I just releasing, negative emotions or negative energy? Is that a good thing or?
So I don't want to judge it and call it negative.
Okay.
All right. There we go.
I don't mean that. Okay. Lower vibrations.
I don't know what that's even it. I maybe you're just relaxing. Maybe you're just starting to relax the body.
Okay.
Just relaxing.
Not all the time, but sometimes it's much more intense, and then sometimes I don't do it at all. But when I do yawn, it's a lot.
It's fine. I mean, that's also. It sounds like you're a trance medium.
I am.
You're a trance medium. Yeah. So that's very common for trance mediums. That's okay with me. I don't see releasing negative things. Sometimes it's a mechanism for transcendence to go deeper in the altered state. So I think sometimes you do that, you just bring yourself to an altered state without even realizing it on the human conscious level. You just bring yourself lower down to that state. So that's fine. One thing about development circle too, you will find that, you know, as a mental medium, we're used to using our clairvoyance, our clairsentience, our clairaudience, and you have to bring the power up and be in that powered space. But when you sit in development, it's kind of almost the opposite. It's kind of like a light trance. It's passive. It's quieting the mind. It's quieting down, letting spirit people work with your sensitivity. So you don't have to feel like, oh, God, I get something. It's quite the opposite. So it's like a light transient state. You'll start to go down a little bit. And I always say the sitting development circle gives you a break. It gives us like a break just to relax and just be. So it's fine.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Raise your hand. Yeah.
So this is Alona, and I was just wondering, James, if you have an idea about how we might structure our time during our development practice.
Yes, so we're going to do that in that I think we should have, you should meet with whoever the group leader is, right? You will have a group leader now to start with. And if that doesn't work with another person, we can switch it up once a month, right, Emily? Then once a month, we can change it.
Yes, there's one group we assigned it, so we'll be sending you that email.
Yeah, and I think we give that off, we hand it off to you guys to figure out when's the best time for you to meet, because everybody has different schedules. So for the six of you or the 10 of you, you should get together on your own and come up with, do a conference call and come up with the best time that fits for all of you. Yeah. And then the first meeting, I'd have your group leader sit and just you share, like we're doing here, sharing. And then I would start with when you do it. And we'll go, before we close today, we'll go through a little opening, how you guys should open your circle. Okay. We'll do that. But definitely the group leader should talk and then say a prayer. And then the next person should, and then the next person should, a simple prayer, nothing long, 15 seconds, 20 seconds, whatever, just a prayer, just so the voice can get there and your group dynamic can start, okay? And then what you're going to do is just quietly, I said, so the first 5 minutes, you get together, 5, 10 minutes, and then what I'd like you to do is then you're going to turn the computer off and sit with that group. It's almost like you're meeting up here, you know, meeting above you. And that's, it's almost like when you say a prayer, think of it as when you say a prayer, you're getting your seat here above you. You're taking your seat in the etheric here, right? And you're sitting in a circle. Doesn't that sound good? I like that idea.
Yeah.
And that way, and then I would say the group leader should have some kind of maybe a time, I hate to say timing it, but maybe start first, the first week you should probably sit in 10 minutes. The second week you should maybe 15. And try to work it, and then to a half an hour. So that's the goal, is a half hour, if you can. And I'm going to let each individual group do that on your own, but that should be how it should be structured. So is that good?
So I didn't understand what we do during the 5, 10, 15, 30 minutes. What are we doing during that period of time?
Okay, so I'll go over that. I'm going to go there, Alana. I'll go over what you're going to be doing when you're sitting in the circle. We're going to do it, so we'll do that.
And James, you had sent an exercise, which I gave them last night, the weekly exercise for their circle. So it would be the one that they're doing next week is the one on...
the aspect?
Yes, the aspect of each individual
that right.
is revealed.
Okay, great. Okay. Okay, cool. All right, another question.
Any other questions?
Yes. Rhonda, yes, because we want you... Yes, you're in the car.
Oh, Rhonda?
Yes.
I have a question. What is the difference between people that need to practice being mediums and people that just, it happens to? Are they just have reached a certain level of soul infusion that it begins to happen to them normally?
So that's a good one. That's a good one, Rhonda, because yes and no to that. And this is my opinion. So another medium might tell you something very different. But for me, the soul is always expanding and growing and never stops evolving. They might have within their soul makeup that inherent sense of mediumistic ability. Yeah, that raw sense, if you will. And that'll come out in many ways. And they can practice, I would say, being disciplined with practice. So you have to be in control of this vessel. You've got to be in control. Right. So learning how to open up properly and how to open up the spirit world, surrender, let them come in. And then when you're finished, close down. I'm not a medium that believes that, oh my God, the spirit there, I got to talk to it. I'm really not for that. I think that's not doing it correctly. I think that if the motor is always on, it's going to burn out eventually. So a disciplined medium is someone who's working. When they work, they open up, and they're there. And when they're closed, they close down. That's it. Store closes. Otherwise, you'd be exhausted. Your adrenal system will fail.
So if you're on the phone, just press *9 if you have a question. No, we have a bunch of people on the phone. Otherwise, I can also look at Facebook, James.
Yeah. I mean, this is the time for questions for people because I know that's something they have.
Facebook questions.
I have a question.
Isabella.
So my question is about the soul versus, I'm still in level 1 doing
okay.
It. Soul versus personality, human personality. The only thing I could think of in differentiating is that soul is love or energy of peace. Can you, is that how you,
is that how I look at it?
Yeah.
No. No. So what I look at is a soul. What I look at is soul. How can I say this to you? Let's say the soul is a container. All right. Container. Here's a water bottle. So the soul is the container. The spirit is the water that's inside. Right. So the spirit is the essence. So an aspect of the soul, if you will, the soul is all different parts of the soul. Hold on 1 second. Let me get something. Let me get visual arts. Okay, so this is an artist that did this, and I love it. It's called empowerment. It's activation art. So just as an example, so let's say that's your soul, right? So that could be the soul, but we'll look at all the different characteristics of the soul. Yeah, so the soul is built on different... If you will, we're limited in this three-dimensional world because we're in this human limitation. This is the box we're in, but we're so much more than that. But various experiences in human life help to expand the soul experience. And it's that way, the soul experience. And the human experiences really do help also, of course, color that soul, expand the soul. Yeah, okay. Or not. Love is the expansion. Fear limits. So fear will shut you down and love expands.
So in the exercise where you're supposed to describe your personality versus what soul qualities you are, can you give me an example of what a soul quality would be?
Let's just say soul personality. How is that?
Okay, soul personality.
Same thing. Characteristic personality. Let's say it's the same thing. So soul personality. So I know that my soul personality is I know that I'm kind. I know I'm compassionate, I have integrity, I have a very strong sense of life, humor. I know that my soul personality is very endearing. I know that my soul personality is expansive. I know that I try to understand everyone. I know that I'm trying that, but I know I'm also a creative person. I'm creative, my soul personality, or characters for myself. I love color. I'm very good with color aesthetics. I feel colors. I like colors. So it's kind of more that type of thing.
Okay.
Does that help you?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a good one on Facebook, James, from Gunny. And she says, when visually, with her eyes open, she's seeing colored energy and face changes. Like
cool.
Shifting
cool.
To animals or other faces. How do I determine if it is within my own aura, within myself, or a connection into a connection of information from spirit? And I know Bunny's on here, so Bunny, if you want, I think I saw. There we go.
Where's Bunny?
Bunny's unmuted.
Okay. Bunny, can I see you, Bunny?
She's on the phone.
I'm on the phone. Okay, can I hear you?
She's unmuted right now.
Hi, Bunny. Okay, so I can just answer that by saying when there's an exercise that I have, which I know it's in a course somewhere, where you will, the human eyes, eventually you're going to lose focus. You're actually still gazing, and you can go to a certain area of the carpeting or the ceiling or the wall and look off and gaze to that. And eventually the human part of us kind of slows down. But your clairvoyance can be very activated. So when you start to see things like that, when you see colors or you start to see forms, it's pretty much like your clairvoyance is being activated. The third eye is being activated. And everybody has different experiences when that activation happens. Some people sense colors, some people sense seeing an energy outline of something. A good way to get that started and activated is definitely doing that, looking at staring down, and getting out of the way and your clairvoyance. That's really great. Not only though, I want to say this, you also should, when you're doing that, try to feel clairsentiently. That's going to be the number one way, because most of us are clairsentient, so we'll sense things. We're going to sense feelings of things. Sense the color, sense the energy. Not only do you see it, but try to sense what it feels like too at the same time. I hope that helps, Bunny.
Okay, and we have another good one from Teresa, who I know we've had this question before, James. I've been getting light flashes on and off after meditation and a headache for 2 days. Is this part of the growing experience?
Spirit lights, activated clairvoyance, that's normal. Some of the people get a headache too. And I definitely want to tell you that there are parts of you, aspects of you haven't used before. It's like a muscle, you first start working out. Sometimes it gets really, you feel it hurts. So that's just getting used to it. But also I would run the energy. And in the first course, I've ever running your energy. That's, everybody should be running their energy every day. So we have that covered in the course. Don't we running the energy? And I think if everyone does anyone not know what I'm talking about, running your energy? Okay. Bringing cosmic light down to your heart, cosmic light to your heart, earth energy up to your feet, like roots of a tree, meeting your heart. So the earth energy comes up to your heart, the cosmic energy comes down into your heart, to your crown chakra, the neck, your heart. And then when the two come together, meld together, the earth and the cosmic, you send that out like a fountain of energy, and it arcs back down to the earth. And that's called, it's running your energy. At the same time, you're bringing down, bringing up, running out. All at the same time this happens. Like a pinwheel, like a water wheel. So that's called running your energy. And that way you're filtering all your energy centers, cleansing all the energy centers. That's really important because when people think of you, of course, thought goes through many times, you pick up things, being an empathetic person, you'll pick up a lot of debris and garbage, and you want to make sure that cleansing all that out. Yeah, so that's really what that does, running your energy. I would suggest everybody do that at least 3 or 4 times a day. And you can do it walking the street, you can do it sitting watching television, you can do it anytime. Just get to that sense of running the energy. Okay?
Okay.
That'll help with those problems, people have headaches or feeling that.
Okay, we have a question from Julie.
Yeah, hi, James. I was wondering, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we hear you really well.
Okay, great. Great, finally.
But we can hear you.
Okay. All right, so listen, so I have a question. So I have, when I do, like, so I do regular just psychic readings, right? Like on a daily basis. And so when I'm doing those, I'll get a lot of information from the cards. So I'll be flipping cards and information will come in psychically. And then I feel like if I take the cards away, I'm like blank.
Ask you, Julie, why are you using cards?
Because that's how I was taught, that from my grandmother, from everybody. I mean, from growing up.
So what happens is that's okay. And somehow you program yourself to thinking, oh my God, these cards kind of turn on my psychic self.
Exactly. And that's what I feel.
Right. And in truth, Julie, you don't need them. Okay. You won't need them because you are psychic without the cards. It just becomes a crutch, you see.
Right. I know that.
Right. And that's okay for right now. I think you could do it with just, even if you held a hand, try holding their hands. You would have.
I've done that. That works. That does work. That helps a lot. But here's my other thing too, James, is that I get is that, so that information will come in that way from the cards and I'll just like know and stuff will come in. But then like when I'm waking up, and I know this is going to sound crazy, but I'll get like in the back of my head, like in the back of my neck, like, I'll hear things, like I'll hear sentences or phrases, like, and then I'll get these flashes, like a boom, 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 like it's like a movie, like, but it's like really real, like it's if I'm like watching a movie. And I know that's my clairvoyance, but I wonder, is that like more trance mediumship, or is that something I'm going to develop further?
You're crazy.
I know it's not really crazy because I know it's crazy. I'm just saying, like, do you think that's more of a trance medium type of thing? Because I'm usually like waking up or going to sleep.
Got it. So first of all, how long have you been doing the readings?
2 years.
Okay. Professionally 2 years. How long did you develop for?
Oh, well, for a long time, yeah.
Okay. And we learn every day, right?
So but not in mediumship. Not without the cards.
I see that. I'm going to slap you in a second. So listen to me. Are you coming down to San Diego in June, July?
I think so, yeah. I really want to.
I really would like to, because to do it in person is really important for you, especially at the point that you're at. I think that you're very mediumistic, Julie. And I would like to get you to the point of, especially when you describe that you're feeling the energy and you're getting flashes through your clairvoyance. You're also clairsentient. And you're also very clairaudient. So when the energy comes in, it comes in the top of the head, then it goes behind the neck like a necklace. So you'll be affected by the top of the head, the crown chakra, so you'll get information that way, inspired that way from spirit. It goes around your neck, and so you'll hear, when you get to the neck, you'll be able to hear them audibly. Now when they're coming in and the top crown chakra, you're also gonna get affected clairvoyantly, so you'll, because your third eye is gonna be affected as well. So you'll see, but the energy comes around your neck, around the back of the head to the neck, like a necklace. And that's your clairaudience is being affected in your throat chakra, okay? So you are very clairaudient. I'd like to develop that further with you. I think that you know, every medium is a psychic. Not every psychic is a medium, but I think you are mediumistic. And if you weren't, I would say you weren't, because I wouldn't feel it. But I think that's something you have to slowly try to wean your way away from the cards.
That's what I'm trying to do now, because I do readings every day, so I'm trying to wean myself away.
I know, I'm not crazy about you doing readings every day, because you're exhausting yourself, because you're not running your energy.
Sometimes I am exhausting myself. This is true. I do a lot sometimes.
I mean, I'm a professional, 35 years. I can hear your voice, and I can tell you exactly what's going on, okay?
Yeah, so it happens.
You need to reevaluate and readjust and realign yourself to what you're doing. Because after a reading, whether it's a mediumship reading or a psychic reading, you should feel energized. You never should feel depleted. If you feel depleted, that means that you're not running your energy during it and you're not using the energy properly. And your adrenals will be affected by that. You know? Because remember, your endocrine system is a vital part of doing those readings. I'm going to give you something. You know what I would do, Julie? Try this out, sweetheart. Try this technique. Instead of the cards, I'm going to two things I'm going to give to you. So instead of the cards, take a pad and a pen. And when you sit with your client, you can do like either a stick figure. Do a stick figure and write their name. And then try to see what you can get energetically from the top of their head down to the bottom of their feet. And just draw like a line of energy. And you don't have to look at them. Just feel what you get. And you might stop at the head and say, oh, you know, I'm picking up this. Or I'm just picking this up. Do you understand what that means? It's just a way to get you out of your head, really. And the same thing with cards, astrology charts, numerology, psychometry, they're all tools to get you into that psychic zone. So this is a different way. I'd like to start you with a different way of working. So use a pad. The other thing I'm going to say to you, Julie, and a lot of everyone that's watching and listening, you can also start with doing heart-to-heart readings, which is when you sit there, you can just gently close your eyes and try to connect your heart space with the client sitting in front of you, and you can even imagine there's a current of energy, like a green light of energy coming from your heart to their heart, and you plug into their heart space, and you pick up, empathetically, you'll pick up anything you need to from their soul, you'll pick up things, all right? You pick it up at a heart-to-heart, not from your head. You don't have to think about it, you feel it. So try that one. That might help you too, Julie.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you.
Okay, sweetheart.
Okay, we have a phone question, James.
Good. From
304-427. Sorry, 304-279. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's a different number, but I was unmuted, so I think it's me.
This is
Donna.
Hi, Donna.
Hi. I have a question about linking in with another medium. I've never tried it. It looks really cool. Are there any specific instructions, or do you just do what you normally would do as a medium?
You're talking about a double link, yeah?
Yeah, a double link.
Right, so a double link, and it can be double link, it can be triple links. If on YouTube, there's a video of myself and Paul Jacobs and Mavis Patilla doing a triple link at Omega Institute in New York, where I teach. So this is the way a double link works, okay? There'll be one primary medium, and then there'll be a secondary medium. The primary medium's job is to make the contact, make the initial contact with the spirit world. In other words, bring through the evidence. So they have to contact, get that contact, whether it's, I'm just using this as an example, I'll say I have a woman here, she's still 76 years of age before she passes, she feels like she had a lung condition, she had reddish blonde hair, she had, you know, she could see out of one eye, she couldn't see out of the other eye. You get all the evidence, you make that initial contact, okay, that's the primary medium. Now, so the secondary medium is behind them or standing to the side, and what they're doing, that secondary medium is listening and trying to attune their own energy, their own power, to the first medium's contact. See? So they're standing there and they're tuning into the information, the evidential information that comes through, that personality that's being presented by the first medium, the second one has to add on to whatever that first one is getting. So there might be some piece of evidence that activates the second medium. So let's say that first medium says, I have a lady here, she's 76, there's she can see out of one eye, she couldn't see. That might activate something in the second medium and they go with, oh, she had blindness in one eye. And that might open up something for that second medium to get more information from. So do you know about you? And then what happens is the first medium will bring up the evidence, make all that evidence, make the initial contact, present it. And as they're doing that, the second medium is trying to tune into that same energy, get information based upon what's been put out there, right? And then you'll feel when that first medium is done with the energy, and the energy goes down slightly, that's when the second medium comes up and tells their, brings in their part of the information.
Okay, that sounds good. Are we going to be able to practice that and platform in San Diego?
Yes, Donna. Donna, because it's not an easy thing to do a double link. And the reason why it's not an easy thing to do is because the both mediums have to have no ego about it, okay? I went through mediums, and I've done double links, and a medium keeps on going on and on and on. I'm like, what the heck? I mean, I'm standing there. And that first medium's job is not only to initiate that first contact, but also be very mindful that they're sharing that space with the second medium. So it really becomes a dance. It's back and forth. It becomes a dance back and forth. And if you don't have that dance back and forth, it's not really a good double link. Yeah? And every medium's literally on stage with me on platform where I had to push them and say, excuse me, it's my turn now. You don't want to have to do that. So it's a dance. You have to have a good dance partner. Sometimes you do and sometimes you don't, you know? I myself, Tony Stockwell, probably the two best double links in the, and myself and Lynn Probert also, who you're going to see in San Diego. You'll see Lynn and I do a double link and we really, the three of us together do a great job, whether it's Tony and Lynn or Jane, myself and Lynn or Tony and Lynn, me and myself, you'll see that we give and take. So that's something you have to feel out. And yes, we will work on that when you come down here to San Diego. Mm-hmm.
And did you say Paul Jacobs?
Paul Jacobs.
Googled that on.
Yes, Paul Jacobs and Mavis Patilla. M-A-V-I-S-P-I-L-L-A.
Oh, Mavis. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yes. Now, it's an interesting video because it shows us using, one of us does clairvoyance, one of us does clairsentience, and one of us does clairaudience. And we're only allowed to use either clairaudience, one is clairsentience, and one is clairvoyance. We can't jump on the other. So it's a great video to see how each one of us uses the one ability. And it's hard because some of you really want to vote more clairsentient, but you have to stay at the clear audience. You have to start voting. So it's a really good video to see that. Okay.
Okay.
We also do it's in one of the lessons too, James.
It's in one of the lessons. It is in one of the lessons. That's exactly right.
So Sonia, you have a question.
Yeah. So I'm also one of the persons finishing level one.
Good, Sonia. How are you doing with it?
Good.
So, it's interesting for you, or is it something very different for you, or what?
It's always very interesting for me. Everything.
Is it like the first time you've done this kind of mediumship type of thing?
I've taken classes in the past and I've joined development circles, and right. that was my question. So I participated in a development circle.
Yeah.
And you see how a lot of spirits are just drawn to the energy. When it's time to read a person and connect somebody to their deceased loved ones with that person, how can I discern a deceased loved one versus somebody else who just wants to come through when I'm not getting specifics, where all I can sense is a male energy, you know?
Okay, gotcha, Sonia. So Sonia, let me just add to clarify this. Are you talking about when you're sitting in a physical development circle or on the computer?
Physical.
Physical circle, so you're actually sitting with physical people, great. So when you're sitting in that circle, which is, again, if you sit in a physical circle, that's the best. The way I do it, and we talked about this earlier, I said how I would do this. So the way I do it is I'm the circle leader. So let's say I'm the circle leader, and I'm welcoming everybody to my circle, and I say, I'll read prayer, and my opening prayer can be something like, thank you, dear spirit friends, for bringing us here tonight. I ask you to open up the hearts and minds of everybody in this group, and may we join together as one in union to celebrate your communication, to realize that our loved ones are right with us. We thank you and bless you, amen. And then the next person on the right side of the lead, or again, you circle the lead, will pick up next person to say prayer, opening prayer, next person opening prayer, so forth, all the way around. And then what I tend to do, Sonia and everybody, then what I tend to do in the development circle, and because you guys are gonna be splitting off, you have the opening, and then what you'll do is you'll turn your computer off. But what you can do in that respect is just open up your mind, try to project yourself outside the body, try to project yourself in a space above the body, and that even if you use your imagination, great, that you are connected with all these people cyberly, that you're there in a cyber meeting, that you're actually sitting in some kind of circle, and just sit quietly and see what comes in, impresses you. Become aware of what impresses you. Now, when we first start doing this cyberly, you might not be able to get who it's for. That's fine. First, let yourself be sensitized and impressed with, I feel a lady here. I feel she's in her 60s when she passes. I feel she was hit by a car. I feel she was whatever. Try to get more involved as far as discovery of it. Take away the layers. So as you're sitting there patiently, you can just let this lady come close to you, surrender. You feel like, I feel like a mother. Do I feel like a friend? Do I feel like a sister? What do I feel like this lady? And you guys have to practice it. You have to practice. Don't be afraid. Don't try to get it right away. It's not going to happen. You have to be wrong in order to be right. So really, this is just a sensitizer in the development circle. I'm very aware. And then you might be chatting with this lady in your head and getting stuff. And then a man comes into the side of you. Like, wow, who is this guy? And sometimes you're sitting in a circle, you have several beings at once who want to come in. It's up to you to say in your head, in your mind, step back, sir. I'm not quite get it yet. So slowly come in and let me know. Do you want me to say something? What is that? And just you have to be very passive. Now, Sonia, when you're sitting in a physical circle, what you can tend to do is I go through each person myself, and I just send energy to each person. So I send, like, because we're sitting in a circle, it's okay to do this. I go to each chakra of theirs and I send energy, whether it's red or the rainbow, each person. Bring up the earth energy. I run their energy for them. I'm just doing it all with my mind. And I'm running the energy, opening up the chakra points. I might get to a certain chakra point, second or third chakra. There might be something I notice there. I'll pull it away. I'll just take it away psychically. And I'll just open them up, clear them up a little bit, and bring love to them. And I do that for each person. And then what I do is I just sit there passively, and then I sense or feel, as I go around the room, if I'm getting an impression, well, I feel like I have a grandfather over this person over here to my right. Can you give me some information about that, sir? And you really can almost feel, Sonia, kind of every person has kind of an outline, you know, the auric field around each person. Try to feel where that spirit belongs, what outline they belong to. Does that make sense?
Thank you.
And the more you practice it, Sonia, the better you'll get at it. It's like targeting. Just sense where they are. So if you have a man that comes to you and says, hi, I'm a gentleman, he says, well, who do you belong to in this group? Where are you? And give me something that this person can identify about you. One little thing. Yeah? So try to do it that way. Don't try to get big old messages like, oh, get a simple thing. I heard her play the song for me today. She has my ring. something like that. I'm a brother or whatever it is. Simple. Let's start simple. Yeah. Is that okay?
Yes. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Okay. Let's go to Ashley.
Hi.
Hi, Ashley. It's so weird looking at everybody, isn't it?
It is. It's distracting. So I put my question on Facebook, but I thought I'll just ask you.
Okay, Ashley. Good.
When I do these meditations or doing the elevator where you raise and lower your vibration, sometimes I start feeling sick. So I don't, like, I get dizzy, like nauseous feeling.
Normal. At the beginning, this happens a lot. So whether it's a headache or you start feeling a little, you're using the chakra points you're not used to using. You're not used to bringing energy to activating certain chakra points. So a lot of the energies you're going to build, your energy's vibe is getting higher and higher, quicker and quicker. So it could have a counter effect on the physical body. The more you do it, the better you're going to get to it. You're going to get used to that, moving that energy up. Grounding yourself is really important. So that's why, and running the energy, like I said earlier, you know, becoming a tree, the root, the energy, Mother Earth, bringing up that Mother Earth energy, grounding yourself, bringing it up to the heart, cosmic energy down to the head, back to the neck to the heart, blending them together, sending out, run your energy, really important.
Okay.
And you're so sensitive. You're such a sensitive person that you always should be running your energy because, you know, people pull at you all the time. You're very sensitive. So you're very clairsentient. You know that.
Yes.
Good. So that's it. And remember, it's their stuff. It's not your stuff.
Right.
And everybody should know that. It's their stuff. It's not yours. Don't take on other people's stuff. Don't internalize other people's stuff. It's theirs. It's not yours. Don't think, I have to be a certain way in order to get something. No, you don't. It's almost like a board in front of you, a movie screen or television set screen, and you're seeing things or you're aware of things. Your mind is picking up impressions. You don't have to own it in order to see it or feel it or hear it.
Okay.
You're an observer. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Chippo has a question.
Chippo.
Okay. My question is, when I run my energy and I go, you know, I expand my energetic body.
Yes.
What happens is when I start to go really, what I call under, is my back of my head. It feels like I'm going deeper into something. Yeah.
So this right here, so everybody, this is a trip. So those who are listening on the telephone, I'm taking my hand and I'm pushing the back of my head. You've heard eyes behind your head?
Yes.
The biggest psychic point we have is right here behind the head.
But then it feels like I'm going unconscious, even though I'm not asleep.
Right. So remember that you're a soul having a human experience and that your soul leaves the body all the time. All the time we're leaving our body. So it's just consciousness. It's an awareness. So most of the time we're in this body, which is not our normal place to be, but we're here while we're in physical earth. But while we're here, we go in and out all the time. With thoughts, with meditation, with reading a book, with watching a television show or a movie or taking a shower or driving. We kind of like leave the body, to tell you the truth. And your awareness usually should be right here in your third eye center. But sometimes mediums will, and it's okay, will tend to leave the body. And most medium, every medium, I should say this, mediumship is really when your soul kind of leaves the body, kind of to the side. That's how you can do readings. You're leaving your human, usually over to the side is when you're getting it. So it's very normal for you now in the beginning to be going out of the body in some way and feeling like, wow, I'm going through these dimensions of expansion or contracting or things are happening all around me. That's very normal. And that I would expect you to have that. If you're not having that experience, you will, but it tells that you're still into your head. You're thinking too much, right? So that's normal, sweetheart, so do not worry about that. No. You're on the right track.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, we have a good one from Carolyn on Facebook. she wants to know, regarding the power, I think I've been missing it because I overshoot it. I get a full-on meditative state where it's difficult to talk, let alone share messages. I now think the power must be considerably closer to normal functioning than that, more just like being slightly elevated instead of way out. When I tried it this past week, I felt much more aware of the energies around me. Am I on the right track?
Well, yes and no, in that. It's not something which is like, whoa, you're in control. of it, but the closest thing I could say is enthusiasm, excitement. But it can't be so it's the power. When you're in the power, like, whoa, this feels exciting. It's very much like a champagne bottle taken with a fork, and there's this effervescence. There's an effervescence. There's an excitement of, oh, my soul is enriched. My soul is expressing itself. I'm connecting here. I'm in that space. I love using this analogy, which I've done in the course, but I use it all the time. And I think the age group here is, can understand. Star Trek, remember that, right? Beam me up, Scotty, where is it a tube of light? And I know that when I stand into that tube of light, whether I'm sitting doing a reading or I'm standing, there's a tube of light, and that tube is a power. That's my power center. I'm charged when I get in there. And you have to build up in that power and that excitement. And that's really what it should be. But you should be in totally in control at the same time. You can be excited and not lose awareness. You have to be able to be in control of the vessel, this vehicle, and also be able to be in that power state at the same time. So it's integration. Hope that helps. Does that help everybody?
Thank you.
Anybody not know what the power is? Okay.
Can I ask another question?
You certainly can. Yes, you may.
Thank you. I'm loving this class. I can't even tell you. I'm doing this stuff all day, every day now. It's so thrilling.
Great, Carolyn.
I've been practicing my exercises, but on the subway on my way to work.
Perfect.
Is that okay? But what happened was this lady came and started talking to me in my head, and I realized it was for the man sitting across from me. But I should leave that man alone, correct?
That's correct.
Messages to strange people.
Not at all. Do not watch the Long Island medium.
No, that was
not. I love Teresa. She's a kind soul, but that show is produced. And that's not how a medium should work. As walking into a public space doing readings, that's inappropriate. There's no respect and there's no responsibility. So we got to have integrity and responsibility. And so when you open yourself up, you start getting a lot of things that way. But it's not you up to you to go up to somebody and say, oh, I have your dead father here. That is not appropriate. And that's the reason I do not like that television show, because the way it's produced, but television is produced the wrong way. And Teresa's very compassionate. She's a kind soul and she's talented. But unfortunately, I don't think she knows enough for the producers that they know. And I know Hollywood because I've done it. And that's why you got to be appropriate and with integrity, yeah, and responsibility.
That's what I thought.
And part of that being responsibility, having responsibility in your work as a medium, is being humble, is being having humility, and treating each other like, you know, you're learning something from every person. Even if you've done this for 10 years, you learn something. I learn something every time I have these phone calls. So if you're, as you do this course, the more humble you can be, you get a star from me.
Thank you so much. I have to go, but thank you.
Okay, fine. Thanks, Carolyn. Don't beat anybody up in the subway now.
She's a sweet person.
So we have an interesting question, James, on Facebook from Laurel. And she's wondering, it's kind of related a little bit. When is it ever appropriate to share personal information during a reading? Our development circle was doing group readings for mothers who lost a child. I had a childhood memory come to me when I walked away from a child care facility as a small child and did something very dangerous, but I had no idea at the time.
So, So part of the job is that you are here as a medium to empower, not disable. So you are here to empower someone's life, not disable their lives. And it's not about you saying, oh my God, I have, this is an example. I was working in Holland once and I had a group of students and they got up and did a reading from someone in the circle. And this man stood up and he said, I have a young boy here and he was hit by a car and boy, his brain was splattered. There was blood all over the street. There was like, his eyes were here and it was like, he showed me all this blood. And I'm like, stop it. I said, stop it right now. You don't do that. How dare you? I said, how dare you? The mother of that child sitting obviously in this room. She went through that hurt once. Why would you do that again? So that medium, and he didn't know any better. That's what he was like, of course. So the medium, I said, you can get the same information through by how you word it, by saying, I feel I have a young man here who died tragically with a vehicle. Does someone accept that? See, it's very different than the drama. You don't need drama. So you've got to empower people, not disable people, because then it becomes about you and the ego. And one of the things about mediumship, you cannot let the ego get out of place. Ego is E-G-O, edging God out. And if you're going to be in the ego space, you don't have time for mediumship. And mediumship has nothing to do with ego. It's a tough one. You got to remember that from week to week and in your circles. Okay?
Okay, we have a good one from Thea on Facebook as well.
I like this group, by the way. It's great. I love looking at it. It's like Hollywood Squares. Right? I'll be Paul Lynn. There you go.
She says, since running my energy the way you taught us, I've been highly emotional and I cry at the drop of a hat.
Yep.
What's going on?
She's opening up her second, third, and fourth chakras are opening right up. So there'll be more sensitivity, more emotion will happen. She'll be more reaction. That's when you really run your energy then. Again, don't be the, don't feel like it's you're beating yourself up and take it. So, it shouldn't happen. You can observe something and become aware of it, but don't take it on. Yeah. So when you're running your energy and you're beginning to do that, a lot of emotions will come up, a lot of sensitivity comes up, and that's when you're running your energy. And that's what's happening, running even more. But there's something I want to tell people too. Each person here, whether on the phone or visually, you have for yourself have to be responsible for running your own energy, being in control of this vessel, but also being aware that you're not pulled into someone else's stuff. So I don't necessarily believe in protection per se, because I don't believe in evil, but I do believe being responsible for the space around you. So for instance, when I would do the Ghost Whisper and have to go to Hollywood to the studios, I would have to, again, I don't want to use the word protection, but I will say put my mindset in a space energetically where any energy which is fear energy, that wouldn't come near me. So I would just surround myself with light. I'd surround myself with a mirror with a reflection out 360 degrees, and the energy would bounce off and I would pick up nothing. So when you become open, and as your guys are becoming more open, you might have a sense that you need to just put your own energy around you in an energy bubble, just so you have your own energy and you're not like opened up completely like that. So you'll have to try that first one yourself and see how you should do that.
I have another question as well, if there's time.
Yes, you got it, honey.
I sat in our group, well, most of the people from our group sat on Sunday, And some of the women picked up on some different things that I found really interesting. When I had been running my energy, and I take things very literally, I'm a psychologist, so everything's like, you know.
So I'm sorry, Sarah. Sorry.
I know. So when I was running my energy, I pull up from Gaia, pull down from the universe, push it out. And then I would try and get out of my mental head. And I would literally imagine my mental self going off over here in the left. And I would literally feel like a separation between the halves of my brain. It felt like this side of me was like Terminator and this side was just heavy and dead. And the women in my group picked up on it.
Oh, how cool. That's really, really cool. That's great. That's really great. Great, great. So I'm going to give you an exercise to do. Okay. Let's say, are you an Aquarius or something or Gemini and air sign?
Pisces? Yes, sir.
How dare you think so much? So when you're somebody who thinks a lot, you analyze something, when you're in your mental state all the time thinking, remember the idea here. Hold on one second. Excuse me. One second. I have to get a book. Hold on. Where am I? I'm going to share something with you. Okay. I am so funny. I amuse myself. See? You have to laugh at yourself. Life's too short. You can't do those experiences. So I was teaching in Sweden, and I was teaching the students about going from your head to your heart. Because a lot of them are thinking and overthinking. I'm like, oh my God, I'm smelling brain cells. You're overthinking it. Literally. I said, you can't be literal. You got to go out of the head into the heart. And it's just, so when you think so much, bring that energy down to your heart. However you want to do that, visualize, imagine it's a beautiful green light in your heart expanding, and try to swim in your heart energy. How is that? Okay, try that.
Okay.
So I'm teaching the class this. I go into my hotel room, swear to God, true story, and this book is on my desk, and it's in every single room in the hotel. It says, "Out of the head, into the heart." So the more you start doing this type of work, you're going to find more synchronicities. And when you have synchronicities like that, it often means that your soul's on the right path, that you're doing things the right way. With synchronicities, coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous. So you'll have all these synchronistic things happening when you're on the right path. When you overthink things, you'll block things. The critical mind will take over. The ego takes over. The human part takes over. So it's kind of a balancing act, and that's why sitting in that development circle is good for you, because it gives you a time that you can just say, okay, I'm just relaxing and let my soul be quiet and it will express itself, however it's going to. Yeah? Okay.
James, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Can I ask about past readings? I can't get anything in people's past lives. I can get everything now, their past of when they think, but clients want to know about their past lives, and I'm not being able to pull that in at all.
So that's fine. That's not my specialty. I don't do that.
Yeah, that's
I'm not wired that way. And their wonderful past life regressionist, Dr. Brian Weiss, is a list on his website of past life regressionists that he's trained.
I'm familiar with him. Yes.
Yes, so you can.
Is there something wrong with me? I just wanted to know if there was something personal.
Yeah, there's a lot wrong with you, but we only have. No, that's something wrong with you. Sometimes that a plaid shirt is a plaid shirt. If you're a striped shirt, it's not polka dots. So your soul makeup doesn't necessarily have that information or focus on that. You're doing something else.
Yeah, I don't. I realize I have a common thread, but I just wanted to know because I had a question today from a client, and that just kind of put me like, oops, didn't know I can do that, not do that.
Well, you can't, so you got to remain humble. And
no, he was open. I thank God. He was a nice gentleman and open to that, of me not being able to do that.
So what you should do is really just discover more from the spirit world. Discover more, put yourself inside the spirit world. What does the spirit world look like? What when you bring somebody through, Sandy, let's say you bring through a grandmother or an aunt or someone, and she brings information. What I'd like to do in your mind is, everyone that's looking at this or hearing this, you can also try this. When the spirit's coming in, you can also go to the spirit world with them. Let them show you what they do during the day. What are their activities over there?
That's what I read today. I actually had someone had a job, and they were shocked that their father had a job over there. Well, what he likes to do. His hobbies.
Describe the job, describe where they live, describe who he's met over there. That's where you want to go. So remember, everybody, it's more of a discovery. It's a sense of discovery, one step after. Like opening that curtain and opening that curtain and opening that curtain. Wow. And you always have to remain in awe.
Okay. Yeah, it's there. I didn't know about the past lives, and I just thought something was wrong with me.
Don't worry about it.
Thank you.
We'll do that in another course. Don't worry about that right now.
No, I'm not worried about that. Thank you.
Okay, let's get a cat.
Is that verbally or is visually?
Cats.
It's both.
Where are you, Cat?
Here.
Okay.
Got me?
I think okay. I got in Florida, yes.
In Florida. Okay.
That's your square, okay.
Yes. So I'm having some, every time I try to go into meditation to quiet my mind, I'm trans-channeling immediately. Like, I can't kind of, even when I say, you know, quiet everybody, whoever's coming through, I come having just difficulty of just being in a meditation alone by myself with my own soul without.
You're in your head. You're in your head and all this stuff in your head and all these things are happening. Mediumship is simple. It's not so hard. It's easy. So what you can practice, Kat, for the next couple of days is being mindful.
Okay.
Eyes open. So bare feet, walking. Your toes, your heels, toes. What does the carpet feel like? What is the floor? What does it feel like? What does that sensation on the skin feel like? Be more aware of the body, all right? Be more aware of what's going mindfully, all around you physically, okay?
Okay.
If you're in a room, what does the room feel like? The walls, what does it feel like to touch things? Get more tactile, yeah? That's what I'd like you to start working on, is that, the physical things. I wouldn't worry about your trans-channeling that, but you have to be able to, otherwise it becomes very hysterics. We don't want hysterics. We don't want drama. We don't need drama. We don't want to do that when it's time to do that and do a trans channeling, then we can do that. But for now, I just want to be more aware of the mental mediumship, okay? When's your birthday, by the way?
Virgo, September 6th.
Oh, Virgo. Well, honey, you're probably trying to get out of your head. Virgo. I know, Virgo. So Virgos are good. She's very good physical, but they analyze, criticize, critical, and all that sort of stuff. I think, and you're going to come to San Diego, yes?
Yes.
Fantastic. Good. So would you remind me we had this conversation when you see me?
Yes.
So I can, absolutely. I can personally, you know, when I do the personal assessment, I can help you with that. Because a lot of times, you know, we got to be very careful as mediums. So we go through those hysterics and it's just, you know, there's a great method I want everybody to know about. And you'll hear when Lynn Probert teaches this with me in July in San Diego. It's called the KISS principle. Have you all heard it? The KISS principle?
Yeah.
Yep. K-I-S-S?
I haven't heard of it, no.
Keep it simple.
K-I-S-S. Keep it simple, stupid.
Oh, I know that.
Simple the better. So try to work on keeping it simple and tactile. And mindfulness. Mindfulness.
Okay.
Be aware. Don't think. Be physically feel.
I am feeling. Yeah. I didn't think I was thinking at all. They're just sort of, you know, spirit is coming through immediately and taking over.
If they're going to come through you and you're not in control of it, then that's not doing it the right way. You have to be in control. Then that's going to take you over and throw you out of the way. You're consciously going to be aware of what's happening. You should be able to be consciously aware of who's coming in, consciously aware of the evidence that they're giving you. You can't just go, you got to let them come in. Now, trans mediumship is different, but now we're going to work on the mental mediumship.
Okay.
All right? It's just retraining your brain.
That's what I figured. It's just, I want to just switch roles.
It's changing programming the way you've been taught or things you've been doing before. It's a very different way. All right?
I haven't not been taught. This is coming naturally.
Okay. So when you do a reading for me right now, what are you picking up on a spirit level? What spirit is around? This is just for Kat. As you're doing a reading with me right now, let's say you're going to be doing a reading. How would you do that?
Oh, no, the pressure's on. I can't do it right now.
Okay, right there. It should be no pressure.
No, you're right. You're right.
It should be no pressure, just surrendering. So you can do it with the breath. Right? So do I feel a female around me, a male around me? What do you feel? So you're thinking. So you're in your head. Yeah? Male or female? Go. When I click, tell me.
Female.
Old or young?
Young.
Was this someone I know or someone I don't know?
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm hearing a child is what I'm hearing. That's
a child? Okay. Yeah. And did I know this child, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
See, that's not thinking, that's just coming.
So when I do that, it's always there. It's just our brains get in the way.
Yep.
So that's the problem, is our brains in the way. So you just respond every time I snap my fingers. Mm-hmm. So did I know this person, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Did I know them when I was younger or older?
Older.
Do you have a name?
Cheryl,
okay. I cannot relate to that. Can you tell me anything about how I know her? Probably a client. It's probably who it is.
I heard work right away. Work.
Okay. I don't know anyone like that. I cannot right now remember. Maybe I can. Anybody else that you get around me?
A young male.
A male. Okay. Tell me more about him. Did he work?
I heard covered in tattoos.
Okay. And did he work? Yes or no?
No.
Didn't work. Did he die in his 20s or 30s?
30s.
30s. And was he a client, someone that belonged to somebody, a client of mine?
Another person. I don't know. I heard another person.
Okay. So I think it's probably a client. Okay. It's probably a client. Okay. I can't relate to it. Okay. Now, are you sitting in development circle now with our group?
We meet next Tuesday together.
Okay. And have you ever sat in a development circle ever before?
I go to, not like this. Not like this. I go to another psychic who does more higher realm master readings.
Okay. So mm-hmm. I would say the higher realm ascended masters is great, but first we got to get your stuff going. Now we get
there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah. So you have to be projected, yet after you can't be so spiritually evolved that you know we're for good.
Yeah.
So we got to be able to have our feet firmly planted, and then we can go there. Of course, let's get survival of consciousness here. And then we can, and listen, we can always be inspired by our master guides and teachers and angels. No problem. We'll do that. But we'll do that. But I want you to start on the human level first. And I think that for you personally, I think you can do it. But I think your own head is like, I'm not sure of this. It's like the girl that was on the phone before and she was over the cards, the psychic. Remember that? That was a crutch. I want you to start, you're going to start reprogramming stuff, sweetheart. Okay. It'll be great. It'll be great to see you in San Diego, too.
I'm going to look forward to it.
Honey, I'm going to rock your world. Sorry.
on a quick side note, Kevin Lee in Fort Lauderdale.
Kevin Lee, I took a class.
He wanted to say hello to you because he just met your sister, Lynn. So I just had to pass that message to you.
Okay. Well, Kevin Lee, wow, he's a lovely man.
He's great.
He fills his church?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does he have development circles?
They have them there, not with him personally. There's other people that come to his church.
And what city is he in again?
Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale. What's the name of the church?
I have to get back to you on that.
Okay, because exactly I'm going down there next 2 months when there's four down there in Fort Lauderdale. So I want to say,
Definitely.
Okay, good. Yeah, Kevin knows me. I mean,
He's great.
He probably has some great suggestions to you too. The development circles are down there. So good.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. Should we take one more, James?
Sure.
Okay, let's go to, it looks like Pam is next in line.
Kathleen is driving. No, you're in your kitchen. You're driving. Okay.
Hi, James. I have a question about when you have sessions with people, the morning of or maybe even the night before, if you have physical feelings that are connected to them, and it's never happened to me before. This is the first time it's ever happened, and I was blown away because I thought it was me at first, and then come to find out during the session, it was actually her that I was feeling.
Yes, yes. So remember, everybody communicates differently. Every spirit will communicate differently. Every medium works differently. But very, very common that the spirit, of course, some are very excited that you're going to be sitting with a loved one the next day. And they may come the day before and try to check you out, try to work with your mechanics, and try to see how they can impress you, how they can get to you. So they're trial and error. They're practicing with you. So that's really good. So you will have, when I used to do morning readings at 11 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, the spirit would show up, tell me things, show me things, it would happen. Not all the time, sometimes. And I'd write things down, and then later, of course, it'd come up in the reading. It still happens the night, let's say I'm doing a demonstration one evening. During the day, we do a demonstration or platform. Be very, very aware of how the spirit's going to use your mind that day, because they'll usually put things into your mind that will relate to a reading that you're going to do that night. It happened to me, I was working with Mavis Patilla, another medium, and we're driving the freeway of California, one of the freeways here, and there was red, white, and blue balloon hit my windshield in the freeway. I'm like, wow, that's weird. And I said, well, use that. It'll be used later. Spirit's going to use that. So they'll try any way they can. The last reading that night was a young boy who passed over and thanked his mom and dad for putting some red, white, and blue balloons at his memorial service.
So, that's amazing. Okay, so if it starts happening a lot, do I just tell Spirit, hey, just hold off until the reading? Or
I would. I've done that before. I said, listen, and they're very excited. Say, this is not appropriate right now, but please, I will definitely get to you when time comes. Please just stand in line, wait for that. It happened to me, I was doing a big theater somewhere, and I was doing a sound check, and a young boy came to me, 20 years old, died in an 18-wheel truck crash. And he said, my father's here, you gotta tell me, wait. I said, wait till I start the message service, and then I will come to you first. So sometimes you have to educate the spirit people to remember, just because someone died doesn't mean they have manners. And doesn't mean they know things. They don't. And you sometimes to educate them. And as far as how they're going to work with your vessel, with your machine, how they can work with you, how you choose them to work with you. okay? You just don't leave it up to them. You are in charge of this, yes? So you have to tell them, this is not appropriate right now. When the time comes, I'll be able to do that for you.
Okay, thank you.
Good. Anybody else have a question?
It looks like there are two more.
Okay.
Let's go to 405.
Hi, this is Helen.
Here we go. Hi. Hello. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Helen. This is Helen.
Hi, Helen. How are you?
Jane.
Lovely.
Fine. And I just had a question, and this is probably because I don't have enough experience, but so when you're in your power and you're talking to someone who's passed on, and then you seem to stop getting messages through, does that mean that I'm kind of out of the power I need to be, or that they've just passed on whatever messages they needed to? How do I know which side of it I'm on?
Okay, so Helen, great question. Great question. Important question. So it could be a little bit of both. So if you find all of a sudden that it drops, that means you've dropped your power, you're out of your power. So you're going to go back into your power again and build it up, and reconnect again. All right? And then what's going to happen is, you know, when you're in that power and another spirit comes in, and that one. Listen, I find that the spirit world doesn't have a phone where they hang up on you. I find that's very true. I find that it's usually the human involved that stops the message. The spirit won't stop speaking because this is an opportunity for them. So it's usually the medium that gets, they think they have a phone line. They're always open. So it's just really usually the medium that's out of their power. So you've got to reestablish your power and build it up again. And Helen, where are you calling from?
Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City. Are you going to come out to San Diego?
For the first 2 days, yes. For the end of June, 1st of July date, yeah.
We'll talk about being in the power then. And we'll do an exercise where you're in the power. You know when you're in power, and we'll have you stand up when you're in the power, and you deliver the message. And when you can't get anything else, when you're not getting a yes from your client, that means you're not in your power. You get a no, you have to sit back down and reestablish your power and build it up. So we'll do an exercise with that.
Okay.
Great question, Helen.
Thank you.
Okay, the last person is 201568.
New Jersey. Hello.
201.
Hello, someone on the telephone with 201568. Your hand is raised.
And you're unmuted.
And you're unmuted. Anybody else?
201568.
5168. Okay.
Oh, now they're.
Here we are. Okay.
201568. Are you still there?
I think they must have left.
That's weird. They're still showing. Okay.
Spirit.
James, do you maybe want to just brief them on that assignment for the development circle where they're going to.
Tune into the aspect?
Yes, tune into the aspect.
Okay, so once you have your development circle, you have your group leader, and remember, like I said at the very beginning of this, came in late, patience, please, patience. Try to help each other out. You know, no one's better than anybody else. That's not what this game is about. This is about being there for each other, helping to discover things with each other, because we're all connected. We're not separate, we're all connected. So we've got to get out of our heads and just feel, open our hearts, share our hearts. In your circle, it's a great opportunity to share in the hearts. Finding that one heart in your circle. So as you connect within that circle space, when you begin your exercise, just try to, whether you have the name of the person, let's say Kathleen, another person's name might be Mary, another person might be Laurel, another person might be Barbara. You can use the name to get you into that space. So when you're sitting in the quiet, after you've already done your circle, you open the circle up, circle leader, and now you turn your computer off, and now you're sitting there. Try to see which name stands out. Let's say Barbara. And try to use Barbara and get that discovery of what is an aspect of Barbara's soul. Is there a color associated with Barbara? Is there an aspect of her soul that I need to look at here? What do I feel with the name Barbara? And try to feel something from that. You can try it with each person in your group. I would say the names would be a really good way to get in, to tune in. Just like the first call we had with the card, tarot card, the psychic. Similar, when you use the name, it'll get you able to tune in that way. If you just do without the name, you're going to be kind of spinning all over this place. So this gives you some focus. name and focus. And try to just feel, whatever you think of that name, a soul aspect of them, whether they're compassionate and loving. So let's say you get compassionate. How are they compassionate? Which ways? And then you can always ask yourself as you're getting that aspect, what can they teach me? What do they teach me about my soul? How am I connected soul-wise to them? What's the wisdom that they give? What lessons do they come to teach? Just try to feel things. That's all it is. How does that sound?
Perfect.
Does that sound clear? And I'm a little out there. Does it sound clear to everybody what you're doing?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody last questions? Julie, you're good? Okay. Because I know you didn't ask anything.
No, I did.
Did you? All right.
I did. I'm the tarot girl.
Are you the tarot girl, Julie?
Yeah.
That's so funny, right?
You don't remember.
So, Julie, is that funny? I'm right to you. So that thing with the, so that's another thing you could do with your readings. Use their name and tune in. So you have the
heart. Yes, no, that's good. That works too.
That works. And the other thing, I thought you were on the phone before. I'm sorry. So what I'm going to show you right now, and I still do this, by the way, when I do private. Here's a stick figure. See it?
Yeah. I love it.
That's an art, right?
Great.
Let's say the person's name is John. And for me personally, I love people's star signs. I find it very interesting to find a way in that way. Let's say they're Pisces, right? So the Pisces. So I have John up with their name and Pisces. And then I just start at the top of the head. And I just try to feel the energy because the energy flows, of course, in the head and like a serpent energy. It just snakes itself down into the earth, sky into the earth. And so I just, what I do is I just draw. I just let my hands feel the energy and I just draw. And I'll just pick up things psychically that way.
That's really good. I'm gonna definitely try that in my readings for sure. I think that would be helpful.
Good. I think it'll be great. I can't wait to work with you. It'll be great.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, Kathleen, are you okay driving? Yeah, she's fine. Okay. Okay. Anybody else, Emily? Good.
I think that's it.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. Blessings.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Good luck in your meetings.
Bye.
Bye.